Having said all that to say this, let's pray and we'll just get ready into the Word of God. Praise God. Father, Heavenly Father, we just submit ourselves to you and to what you have to say concerning your Word. And we love you so much. And we ask that today, whatever I share and say to your wonderful people will be a blessing and a help to them. And Father, I just want to say I thank you so much for revealing your Word to all of us, Father. It's our bread that we live by. And we know that even when our body gets into a place of being sick, we can do certain things to make it healthy. And I thank you that the Word of God can do things to make us healthy concerning our walk with you on this planet. And so, Father, in Jesus' name today, again, whatever I share will reach the heart of your wonderful people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, sometimes it pays to listen to people outside the church, you know, where their thinking is coming from. And if a person's never been saved or born again, we know very well, without even having to preach a doctrine on it, that they're void of understanding what the kingdom of God is all about. And so, of course, once you get born again or saved and you come into the kingdom of God, you begin to learn a whole lot of wonderful new things that you had never seen before. And so it gives you a completely different perspective of what the kingdom of God is all about, but also a different perspective of what the present condition that the world is in. And so we find right now that presently that there's a big struggle going on in the world because we're starting to see our society decrease. And our heart goes out to people that don't really have an understanding of the kingdom of God. You know, I was asking a couple of young people, you know, how do your young people think, you know, from your perspective, what is their concept? And they shared some things with me and I found it to be so true. They were sharing how their association with their friends now that are young in the Lord, not necessarily grown up, but young, you know, as a child, and they're very confused as to what God is really all about because they have this thinking in them that God controls the world. That's what they believe. And they've never been in the church. The only association they had at church maybe is with their parents. But the church has done a wonderful job at telling the world that God is in control of everything. And there's a danger in that because, here's why, they assimilate everything that has happened to them is because God permitted it to happen. And so therefore, rather than the devil getting credit for what is happening to him, God gets the credit for what's happening to him. People, God is not in control of this world. The God of this world is in control of this world. The only people that are exempt from the control of this world is those who has entered into the kingdom of God and has received Jesus Christ and his authority to rule here in his stead. And then we find that the God of this world does not have control of us who are in the kingdom of God. And the world outside the kingdom of God does not know that. Otherwise, why would you come to Romans chapter 8 and say, if you are going to obey the mind of the flesh versus the mind of the spirit, you're about to die? What is that referring to there? Well, it's definitely Romans 8 is speaking to believers, not unbelievers. And he's saying that when a believer comes into the kingdom of God and he has the ability to grow in the things of God, that means that he's put now into a position where his spiritual mind can control not only his natural way of thinking, but can control his destiny while he's walking on this planet in Christ. Because you have an inheritance called the authority that belongs to the believer. Because when you got born again, it says now you have received the authority to be called the child of the living God. And I guarantee you, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean nothing's going to happen to you. You ain't figured that one out by now. What about your pew seat that's gone? You're definitely a Christian, but where did my seat go? So you have to make an adjustment on the inside. He gets to think differently. Amen? And so with that thought in mind, the world does not have the availability that you have to develop the mind of Christ in you. The world doesn't have that ability. I'm telling you, there are times in my life when I'm beginning to think, maybe I lost it too. You know, because there are some things that still plague me and attack me in my natural mind that has an effect on my spiritual mind. But I got to remember, my spiritual mind is greater than my natural mind. We have to get to a place where we believe that. You're all looking at me like, and so what's the point that you're trying to make? Well, I want to talk about the mind that God expects you to have. The mind that God expects you to have. Remember I told you I was going to tell you about that? What about the mind? Or have I already told you about this? No. The mind that God expects you to have. And when we talk about this, just think that someone outside of the church, not connected to the kingdom of God, this kind of mind does not associate to the way they think. You know, it's sad. One of the most damaging things that can happen to a believer's life is to hook up with a non-believer. Because then you forfeit your position in Christ for them. And what happens is you link your life with them because they too shall become one flesh. That means now your root system has changed. You now are no longer connected to the roots that are in Christ. You are now connected to the root system of the person you demoted yourself with. And I'm going to tell you, that is a miserable way to live as a believer. Amen. And I'm not speaking against a non-believer, because a non-believer can come to conversion. But if you link up with them and hook up with them before they're converted, you're looking for problems. I have never taken a rotten tangerine and put it in a box of good tambourines and had the whole box affect the rotten tangerine. The rotten tangerine affected the whole box. Have you ever noticed that? And that's why we need to be very careful about who we link ourselves up with, because they don't have the same mindset that we're supposed to have. And so if we link up with something as critical as that without them being united with us in the way that we think, we're going to have problems. And somebody says, yes, but God can work it all out. You know something? How many of you heard me preach on the message of peace? Did you know that Jesus said that because I've come into the world, think not that I've come to bring you peace? Well, the first time I read that, and I said, now all these scriptures talking about we can be in peace, and now I find a passage here that says there's going to be no peace. What in the world is that all about? And I started reading, and it says, The daughter will be against the father, and the sister will be against the mother, and the father against the sister, and think not that I've come to send peace. And yay. Well, you know what that's referring to? How many of you have ever received Christ before your mate got saved? And all of a sudden, now that you're saved, and you try to conform into the image, or they take up the same mind Christ has in a family that's not connected to you at all. You know what happens? I'll give you a real revelatory word. No peace. All of a sudden, things begin to fall apart. And so what happens, you're in this dilemma now that you've bought yourself into. Well, wait a minute. What happens of being bought into the situation before you were saved? And they're not saved. And now you're saved and they're not. Now what are you going to do? Well, thank God the Bible has a remedy for you. It says don't go preaching to them. Don't go telling them how rotten they are. It says submit yourself to God in your spirit and be at peace so that you can win them in peace. And you know what? I found that in a home where there's no peace, with peace, if that's possible, it is. You can be at peace, but the other part of your family might not be at peace. Well, how you get your other part of your family at peace is for you to stay in peace. But in order for you to stay in peace, you have to know how to handle the problems within the church to remain in peace. Have you ever thought about that? Well, because you have a mind that's available to you, but you have to make a decision within yourself to do something with this right up here. Did you know that without this functioning, this functions not? Did you guys figure that out by now? If this don't function, then this won't function. Why? You're brain dead. You ever seen anybody brain dead? How many of you were when we were over on 84th and those nurses brought that brain dead guy to the service? He was brain dead. And he was a military soldier's friend, and his friend talked the nurses into bringing him to the service, even though he was brain dead. I didn't know it. Thank God I didn't know it. Was you in that service? Oh, you don't? Anyway, I was preaching away. I think it was on a Wednesday night. And I was preaching away, and I saw this guy in the wheelchair. And I was young and dumb. Thank God I was dumb. And so I'm preaching away out of Colossians, man. And I'm just preaching up a storm and huffing and puffing. And all of a sudden I hear a commotion, and I look back, and these gals are all crying, and this guy in the wheelchair is wobbling around like this, you know, and I got to think, he wants to get saved. Well, this soldier came up to me and asked me if he could bring his friend for me to pray for, but he didn't tell me his friend was brain dead from an automobile accident. And so I didn't know that. So he brought him, talked the nurses into, we'll bring him, providing we can wheel him into the church and we can stay there. Well, this guy's flopping around in this wheelchair. And I go, he wants to get saved. Something wrong with him, but he wants to get saved. And these girls are crying and everything. So I walked up to him. I said, do you want to get saved? Yeah. He's saying, yeah. Ed, was you there in that service? I thought, anyway. He was, and I said, okay, let's lead you into Christ. And these women are just bawling up a storm. And so I'm praying, not knowing he was brain dead. And his brain came alive. And so I'm praying for him. They didn't tell me that. I asked the nurses, do you want to give your heart to the Lord? Yes. I said, oh, okay, wow. And I said, well, now that you're saved and everything, I said, do you want to walk? And he goes, yeah. And the nurses are going, you know. And so you know what I do? I grabbed him out of the wheelchair. And I popped him up and I said, now walk. I had no idea what I was doing. Thank God I didn't know. Or he'd have dropped like a hot spot on the floor. And so he started walking. And so then the news spread that I raised somebody that was brain dead back to life, you know. And I didn't believe it myself at first until they told me afterwards. He was what? He was brain dead. I knew then and there why those ladies were crying. Oh my gosh, if I'd have known that, I'd have passed out. But if this mind isn't working properly, we can get into a whole lot of trouble. And if an unbeliever outside of the confinement of the church does not understand what the world is run by, then Satan's going to see to it that they believe that God is in control of this world and everything that has happened to them is because God permitted it. And that is a lie sold out of the pit of hell. It's because they have no way of coming into the kingdom of God and receiving the inheritance that a believer has called the authority of the believer, and then must remain in that place as a believer in his authority and then grow from there on. Amen. And so I begin to realize over a period of time, especially in Romans chapter 9 or Romans chapter 10. Turn there to Romans chapter 10. I want to show you something before we get into the traits of the mind that God expects you to have. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Thank God for Paul. His ministry is so powerful, people. God really, he was the only apostle that knew Christ after the Spirit. Did you guys know that? All the others only knew Christ after the flesh. They didn't know him after the Spirit. And Paul learned what he was after the Spirit because he was caught up to the third heaven. Nobody really knows when that happened with Paul, but I have my ideas. Paul, evidently, after his conversion, ended up on the backside of the desert of Damascus. And people don't really know how long he was there. But some theologians believe, or some scholars believe, that that was the time period where Paul was caught up into the third heaven. Because over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that he was caught up into the third heaven. And he heard words, he received revelation that could not come out of man, could not come out of the heart of man. And Paul mentions that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that he spoke by that heavenly language, words that could not come out of the heart of a man. It had to be personally given to him by Jesus. So, according to what some scholars say, is that when he was up there at the third heaven and he heard those words, it said that very clearly Paul said that the information that I had received, no natural man could give this insight. It had to be personally granted by Jesus through the grace of God to give it to Paul while he was in the third heaven. You follow me? And so it said when he came back, immediately Satan knew that Paul had been there at that third heaven. And so then Satan then went after Paul to give him a thorn in the side, literally saying he wanted to make everything that would be conceivable to make Paul miserable, fulfilling his call from God. And so he was called a thorn in the flesh or in the side. And as a result, Satan kept attacking him. And the Bible says it was a spirit given by Satan to Paul. Now, some Christians believe that God gave him that thorn to keep him humble. Listen, people, if you get caught up to the third heaven and you hear through revelation or insight, it's because Paul was humble to begin with to qualify to go there, because the chapters before the 12th chapter clearly identifies, Paul made it very clear that he knew what it meant to be very humble before God. Matter of fact, Keith Trump broke that 2 Corinthians down, those chapters before chapter 12, did a wonderful job explaining how Paul got it across to other believers, how humble he really was. And then they go and they translate it, well, he was given a thorn in the side to keep him humble. He was given a thorn in the side because of the abundance of revelation God imparted to him. Why would God impart a whole bunch of revelation to you, then put a thorn on your side to keep you humble? No, what God wants to do is get you to blabber that all over the world. Right. What he gave you. Sorry, I didn't mean to kick any sacred cow over here, but that isn't the way God does things. God gives you revelation or insight so you could scream it from the housetops. Do you know something? If you as a believer and you do one thing wrong, did you know Satan will scream that from the housetops for you? He'll let everybody know what mistake you made. That's where he is. It comes from the devil. Yeah. Only that which is good comes from God. Okay, the mind that God expects us to have. As we go through this as quickly as we can, just remember now, the mind that is not submitted to the Holy Spirit doesn't have this mind. But God expects you to have it. So, let's all make this declaration together. This is the mind. Well, you guys are brave. You're good. You're going to confess what I haven't preached to you yet. You're going to confess that's the mind you're going to have. Good for you. Let's keep it in ignorance right now. Okay? Say it with me. This is the mind I'm going to have that God wants me to have. Amen. So be it. You ready? Okay. First of all, and this is the mind you've got to have to grow. First of all, Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. So the first part that he wants you to understand is he expects you to have a mind that's devoted to him. A devoted mind. You guys already said you're going to have it. Isn't that good? So you're probably sitting there, I got a problem already with number one. That's all right. You said you wanted it, so you're going to get it. Colossians 1:18 says that in all things he may have the preeminence. That means holds the first place. This is the power of a devoted mind. Psalms 119:11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Most of you are saying, can we go to the next one? All right, the next one. Isaiah 23:6 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, equals steadfast, on you because you trust in him. Another one. Psalm 63:6. I meditate on you in the night watches. Psalm 63:8. David said, my soul follows close behind you. My soul follows close behind you. That means God expects you to have a dedicated mind. Not only a devoted mind, but a dedicated mind. Now, people outside our church setting, they don't have this privilege that we have. Because I have never seen anyone take a Bible and walk on a sidewalk and doing this with a phone and drop into a manhole. I've never seen them take a Bible and do that. Sinners don't walk around holding Bibles. They hold Samsung. It's because they don't know what it means to have a devoted mind. A dedicated mind, I should say. Number three, Philippians 4:8. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I'm going to tell you something. This is saying something to us about the mind God expects us to have. Here's another one, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How about Philippians 2:5? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God. And that's what we're talking about. What kind of a mind does God expect you to have? To be equal with the way that he thinks. I'm glad you guys asked that. This is what we call a disciplined mind. You know, we're more prone to talk about the problem than we are to focus on the answer. That's human nature. I know so-and-so, and I know where he's headed. He's running right for the pit of hell because he ain't got no change in the way he's doing things. Well, keep talking. Follow it through. Make sure that he touches the flames of hell. But a disciplined mind won't go that avenue. A disciplined mind says, shut up, you carnal thinking. Shut up, you discerning mind by senses only. I'm going to tell you what kind of outcome that this person is going to have. And I'll start speaking in that direction. I say, this is what God's going to do in their way of thinking. The God, get into their thinking, get into their mind, and begin to speak to them the word of God. And just start using the scriptures that they need. You're using your mind as being disciplined. Can we go now? Yeah. If you want to. Okay. Here's another kind of mind that God expects us to have. Are you guys getting anything here today? I hope so, because Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above. Notice he didn't say, set your mind on things in the earth, but above. Not on things on the earth. Romans 8:5. They set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Psalms 119:23 and 20. Search me, O God. And know my heart. Oh my gosh. Don't ever pray that prayer unless you're ready to receive the answer back. I did that in a hotel room. I ran across her. I said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Oh, I was so religious. I knew I was worthy of the church that I was going to speak at. And I was about ready to let them have it with the word of God because I was so righteous. Oh God, search my heart. This was in the hotel room preparing for the service. Me and God were just tight. I should have never prayed this prayer. Search me and know my heart. And you know what God said? Are you sure? What? What do you mean, am I sure? What's wrong with me, God? I didn't hear a word. And I said, my God, something's negative here. You said think on good things. You're not thinking on good things, God. And God says, well, you asked me to search your heart. You know, sometimes we don't know our own heart. Did you know that there's a deception about us that we don't realize exists in every one of us? I'm not the only one here in this church. You all are in it with me. And he told me I had a spirit of divorce about me. And me and my wife were getting along just fine. Until I remember back to the last fight we had. So it changed my, I was thinking, I said, okay, God, okay, all right. All right, set your mind on that. Search me, oh God, know my heart. What kind of a mind are you telling me to have? You know what kind of mind he's telling you to have? A determined mind. You have to be determined to want to think like God thinks. Listen, we're living in a fallen world. And God is not in control of this world. He's in control of you and me. Or supposed to be. And therefore, if he's in control of you and me, then the devil is subject to us. But we got to have the right mind to deal with it. Number 5, what kind of mind does God expect us to have? 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 14. We receive the Spirit from God that we might know might know. That means actual, the actual perception of something. Things that have been freely given to us by God. And do you know there are some Christians are afraid to really find out what was freely given to them by God, because they might be responsible for what God gave them. And this world does not want the responsibility of their own actions. They want God to be in control of their actions. And that ain't going to happen, Jack. So, the power of what kind of mind? John 9, 39 through 41. I came into the world for the purpose of discernment. He didn't say, I came into the world to judge it. I came into the world to impart to it a discernment. You know, discernment's a little different than judgment. Because if you can discern something properly, then you're more likely not to bring it to a judgment, but to be able to help the situation because you discern it properly. Because sometimes judgment in us can be weird. Just like some of you got with the pews removed. Your discernment was judgment. I better shut up on that one before I get my teeth back lowered into my throat here. So, what does he mean by this? Well, if you have pencil and paper, write these verses down and fall. Well, I better... Hey, John, could you type this out for everybody? I'll have John type you out this. Would you guys like this? I think you already typed them out in the past. Maybe, maybe not. Okay, so this is called God expects you to have a discerning mind. Not a judging mind, a discerning mind. Right. To be able to discern things. Discernment's different than judgment. Because judgment looks to put an end to something, where discernment looks to continue on in a fellowship. And so he expects us to have a discerning mind. Now here's the mind that a lot of people are trying to avoid, but is necessary. Romans 12:2. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Boy, I wish I had time to break it down what it means so that you could discern what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you break that down in Greek, that puts a responsibility back on you. That when I saw it, it was a little beyond me. I knew I'd have to take a step up to meet this. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Ephesians 4:23, Colossians 3, 9 and 10, and Titus 3, verse 5, and see also 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 17. I know I read them fast, but John's going to type them out for you. And we'll have them on your pews. So what kind of a mind is this requiring? A developing mind. Christians don't realize that church was not designed to babysit you. Church was designed to move you to a place to develop your own mind of Christ that's in you. I would love to be able to say, if you stay by His Word, you'll be fine. But where does that put me? Kind of in a prideful place, don't you think? The only thing that I'm commissioned to do is to see to it that you get what is necessary to change you. Not for you to meet me, but to change you. Can we get on with the water baptism? So I'll go over them real quick like for you. But I'm going to have John type this all out for you. Really take it to heart. what I shared with you. Because people, I'm going to tell you something. We have a world out there that doesn't know that it's run by the devil. They think it's run by God. And so they associate all their badness, all the things that happen to them, to God. And God is not responsible for what they go through. God is responsible to see to it that they can come to a place in their life where they're not controlled by the god of this world. And that's the advantage that you and I have. Isn't that cool? How many of you ever read The Authority of the Believer? I tell you, that book is so good. You know what? The first time I read it, I went, you got to be kidding me. I don't have that much firepower, do I? I read that book, and Sue was in the choir, and we went to a church in Tacoma there, and I was reading this book, The Authority of the Believer, and I was so high on this book, I was stunned. Oh my gosh, is this real? Is this really real? It was far beyond what I could imagine. God gave me that much firepower? You know what I'm talking about. I'm sitting there and I'm trying to acclimate to that. I was an old sinner saved by grace, and I'm opening this book and it says I can move hell out from underneath me. I'm just trying to fulfill my own accomplishments. And I'll never forget sitting back at that church. And Sue and the choir come up and they're gonna sing a bunch of songs. Do you remember that, Sue? And they're going to do all this choir music and stuff and for this church. And that PA system kept acting up and cracking and popping and then shutting down. And they were so frustrated. And I'm sitting back there reading The Authority of the Believer. You can control your destiny. Crackle, pop, snap. Kind of come, boop, 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 boop. Yeah. And somebody that was with the music group says, boys, if I had a mind to think so, I think the devil's in our PA system. The devil is in the PA system. And I have authority over him recording this. And I went, in the name. I didn't do it out loud. I said, in the name of Jesus, you devil, you get out of that PA system and never have another flicker. And it all quit. That gun worked. Boy, I want you to know when I left that church, I was drunk on being high in the Lord. I felt like I was at Joel's place. How many of you remember reading that book and putting you on a high that you never had before? Just put a different mindset in you. It was powerful. Well, I'm going to close on this so we can get changed to get warrant to get into the baptismal tank here. Hallelujah. Now, where was I? Where'd all these minds go? I lost my mind. Found them. Number one, God expects you to have a devoted mind. Number two, a dedicated mind. Number three, a disciplined mind. Number four, a determined mind. Number five, a discerning mind. Number six, a developing mind. And anything beyond that, you're in trouble. Okay, we're going to stop there. Now, I have a little bit of things I want to share with you. We're going to have a water baptism. And those of you that are getting baptized in water, I want you to enter this side, not that side. Enter this side. Go down to the pool. You'll see it. A little chair there, go around the chair and sit. And then cross your arms.
Pinch your nose.
If you don't pinch your nose, you will have a baptism inside you as well. And that don't work. Before you get into the tank, if you want to say anything to anybody, friends, relatives, or anything here, and if you're taking pictures, it's okay if you walk around to take the pictures. But if you want to say something, say to them, because water baptism is important for people, and let them know what you're actually doing. And again, I want to say that the baptism that we're referring to now, water baptism, is what we call the baptism of death. That's where we put the old man down and bring up the new man. Amen. And so they'll all share with what it means to them. But we had a good time up in the room there, didn't we? We had a good time. And she'd been with us for 6 months. She wants water baptism, but she's a little blessing. Praise God. Her background is not church like yours, John. She don't have a religious spirit about her. You don't either, John. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, with that said, let's stand up. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your wonderful people. I want to thank you for how you're working with your people to change them on the inside. So, Father, we just want to take a moment before we do anything else and to invite anybody that is truly not born again, that would like to receive Jesus this morning, that might have been brought here, or maybe the thought came to come to church and they've never said the sinner's prayer and would like to come into the kingdom. We want to make that available to them this morning, Father, because it's so important for their life. And Father, if they've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire, Father, we would love to see them actually receive the baptism of the wonderful Holy Spirit. And so we want to administer that as well. And Father, if believers are here and they want us to join with their faith that healing does belong to them, it's their right, it's their bread from heaven. God brought that with him for redemption. And Father, if they want to partake of that, we can pray with them that they would be healed in Jesus' name. So with that thought in mind, if that fits you, salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, healing, would you step out and come forward right now? Anybody? Hallelujah. Anybody? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm doing a good job. Everybody's born again. Everybody's filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not too late to respond. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would anyone else like to come? Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Healing? Is it you too? Okay. Hallelujah. Is it bothering you now? Oh, it is. You want that pain to go away? Okay. Yeah, I do. Of course, I'm up here, stupid. Anyone else? Otherwise, you're dismissed to go. God bless you and have a victorious day. God bless you all.